Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast in which I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. And I am joined by, I believe, my most frequent guest at this point, bar none. You may be double the other guest counts, Marisa McClellan. Marisa, thank you for joining.
You're welcome. I think I am your most frequent guest because I'm the person you can turn to when no one else can do it and say, will you record a podcast with me?
That is true. And you will often say yes.
It's true.
Because we live in the same place, which is helpful. So, well, thank you for joining me yet again and watching yet another episode of Star Trek so we could talk about it.
It's my pleasure.
You're welcome to be here.
I am happy to be here.
You're happy to be here, and I'm welcoming you to be here. Tell the people who perhaps this is their first time listening to Random Trek, so they haven't heard your several other appearances, a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, my name is Marisa McClellan, and I am married to you.
Yes.
And I am a cookbook author and food writer.
Mm-hmm.
I teach canning classes,
mm-hmm.
and I make a podcast about home cooking called Local Mouthful.
Everyone should go check out Local Mouthful at localmouthful.com.
Indeed.
And your website, foodinjars.com, in which you write about all kinds of food that one might find in jars. That's not actually true. You write about food that you put into jars.
Yes, I write about jams and pickles and chutneys, as well as things you can do with those things, as well as some general sort of pantry staples and DIY cooking.
But you don't review things that one might find in jars, like pre-jarred food.
No, I sometimes write an occasional column called Other People's Preserves, where if I've tasted something particularly delicious, I might point people to it. But for the most part, I'm not a critic or a reviewer. I am someone who's trying to encourage you to get in the kitchen and make something.
That's right. So pause this podcast and go to your kitchen and make something and then come back. Or take us with you and you can listen to us as you're canning tomatoes or something. I don't know.
This time you're probably canning strawberries. But
well, there you go. I don't do any of that. But let's enough about the canning. Nobody cares about canning. They don't do any canning on Star Trek. Why don't we talk about Star Trek? So we have, over the course of your many appearances on Random Trek, we have delved into your Star Trek fandom credentials. But today, I found out something new. Or perhaps I haven't been paying attention, and we talked about this already, but we're going to talk about it again. Because when I told you what we were going to watch, which people who are listening to this episode already know, we are going to be discussing a Voyager episode called In the Flesh, Season 5, Episode 4. I said, are you ready to watch a Voyager episode? And you said, hooray, at least it's not an original series episode. which apparently is your least favorite of the series.
It is true that original series is my least favorite. Now, I'll happily watch an original series episode, but they can be a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself in general often feeling pretty irate at the way women are treated in original series. And so I was glad. It was, and yet it still irks me. So
yeah, that's fine.
It's nice to watch a series with a female captain.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like just generally Voyager handles sort of equity between genders a little bit better.
Yes, and the previous episode of this very podcast that you're listening to featured Jean McDonald, who is, I believe, possibly one of Voyager's biggest fans. And she has created a list of an episode guide that you can watch if you want to like compress the Voyager and only watch the good episodes. She has a list. And I didn't actually look and see what she thought of this episode. But she also, on that spreadsheet, has when the episode has passed the Bechdel test. And not everyone does, but... And for people who are listening and who don't know what the Bechdel test is, it is when you basically pass it if two female characters are speaking to each other and the conversation is not about a male character. So they're talking about something other than some, you know, a love interest or what a man is doing. And then that they pass. And you would think that 100% of Voyager episodes would pass, but they do not. And as I was watching this, I was reminded of another show that we watched together. That's mostly we watch because you like it. Not that I don't like it, but it wouldn't be a show that I would watch by myself, which is Madam Secretary.
Yes.
Because Captain Janeway in this episode just reminded me of Taya Leone's character in Madam Secretary for some reason.
You know what? I was actually having the same experience while watching this episode. And I think part of it, and often I watch Madam Secretary and have this feeling of like, I really admire the sort of diplomacy and strategy with which they write her character and how smart she is and how she approaches situations. And it's like she's always thinking several steps ahead. And I feel like that's much of what Captain Janeway does. I just often admire her ability to sort of be thinking sort of the big picture, long-term strategy. She's always... she's just very good at sort of playing it to Voyager's best advantage. And I don't think that way. And so I'm always, I admire it and I'm impressed when watching that happen in front of me.
You are not a captain of a starship.
So no.
It's okay.
No.
Or the Secretary of State.
It's true. Well, and I think that I am someone who's very detail oriented, which is really good in my job as a cookbook author. But I wouldn't necessarily be good at sort of... strategy and you know, like the crafting of diplomatic you know
stuff.
agreements
you
know,
yes.
Or you know, I don't know, I just find it interesting and I admire that, and sometimes I wish I had that skill, but it's not part of my skill set.
Well, I think that's something you could probably learn if you're interested, perhaps by watching more Voyager episodes, and you could model yourself against Captain Janeway. Although Captain Picard, also a diplomat. So
yeah.
they really changed that from the original series. Captain Kirk, not so much
no,
a diplomat.
He's a hothead.
He is. And Captain Archer, a little more of a diplomat than Captain Kirk, but not much. And Benjamin Sisko, I think Benjamin Sisko may have punched more people than Captain Kirk did. But still...
fairly diplomatic.
It's true. But we're not here to talk about any of those guys. We're here to talk about Captain Janeway. And I think that what you said is probably the reason that I thought of Madam Secretary, other than the fact that we also had just recently watched an episode of it.
Yes.
Because this episode is, they kind of set it up to be this big possible fight that's starting a whole war. And it turns out that Captain Janeway avoids it all with well-placed diplomacy, and she concedes the first kind of point and lets the other people know that she's serious about it, and then everybody is happy, which is, it makes for an interesting episode because it is kind of, you know, steering towards the tenet of you know, war doesn't solve anything, violence doesn't solve anything, it's not the answer. You should all get together and compromise, and nobody's going to be happy, but at least nobody's dead. But it does not make for a super exciting resolution to an episode. This episode just kind of fizzles out, only because the crisis is averted, and so everybody leaves at the end.
Yeah, it is kind of anticlimactic that suddenly, like...
Oh, spoiler alert, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine.
That... by the end, they have avoided war, which is great, but they're all kind of like, well, I hope it works.
Yep, see you later.
Let's work together. Good luck.
Let us never speak of this again, because
yeah.
I believe this is the last episode that species 8427, I always get the number wrong. 8472, there we are, appears. So we don't know what happens if they stick to their agreement or not. Well, I assume they do, because we never hear from them again. So.
It's too bad that they dropped them, though, because I feel like it could have been an interesting, you know, continuing storyline to have them in more episodes.
I think they were too expensive to have in their normal state, which is why they are not in their normal state, I imagine, for most of this episode.
Yes.
They are a species 8472, is burned in my memory from the Voyager shooting game first-person shooter game that Delta Squadron, maybe it's called, where they you kind of have to hunt them through Voyager.
It's not very nice.
Well, they're not very nice. They want to kill everybody but in non-fluidic space. Except in this episode, my favorite Martian comes to a resolution theoretically. But check out that video game if you haven't. You probably can't play it on any modern computer, but it was fun, or at least I remember it being fun. But why don't we talk about this episode? What happens? Okay. So it opens with I assume. Well, there's a fun fact first, and then we'll open. And I know this because of our not this podcast is not sponsored by Memory Alpha, but it is where we get the one true source of all Star Trek knowledge is from Memory Alpha. And that the episode guide here tells me that the story was written by Nick Sagan, who is the son of the famous astronomer Carl Sagan. So there you go. And his original story was apparently radically different than what ended up being in the episode. And there were apparently supposed to be lots more special effects. This episode does not really have a lot of special effects. I imagine because of budget, it has a couple of cool shots. But so there you go. There's your fun fact about this episode. And the big shocking opener is that we are apparently on Earth and in on Starfleet Academy, which is located in San Francisco everyone who's listening, I assume, knows that. But maybe they don't. In the future, not current. Don't go to San Francisco now. You're not going to find Starfleet Academy. Also, probably in the future, you will not find it there, but whatever. And I never really understand why Starfleet Academy is in San Francisco. I guess they just picked San Francisco. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But that's where we are, and that's shocking because we're not really quite sure what's happening. We see a bunch of Starfleet officers who we have never seen before. We see an admiral, we don't know who he is, and a Vulcan, and they're talking to people. And then, you know, who's strolling through, but Chakotay with his holo camera, taking a bunch of pictures, and you think, how has Chakotay gotten back to Earth? And it's a very short opener, and there you go. You're like, this has left me with many questions. How is Chakotay on Earth? What's going on? And we quickly find out Chakotay, in fact, is not on Earth. He is, we don't know where he is. I guess we don't quickly find that out because we spend a lot of time with Chakotay just kind of traipsing around Starfleet Academy, looking at things, talking to a lady, taking pictures, scoping the place out, meeting Boothby, who is a character who is from the original, not the original series, The Next Generation. Captain Picard has a relationship with Boothby. We find out Captain Janeway has a relationship with Boothby. Boothby played by I was going to say John Billingsley, but that's not right. Famous actor who was my favorite Martian, and I can't think of his name. But he's always fun. So, and he plays a good... Here's a spoiler. He's not actually Boothby. He's an alien in disguise, but he plays kind of a... I don't know if I would call him menacing, but...
folksy but stern, perhaps.
Yes, and there are a lot of unanswered questions I have about this episode as well, but we'll get to that. And so Chakotay is going around telling people he's not Chakotay, and he's checking it out. We don't know what's going on. He has this kind of flirtatious conversation with a lady officer in the officers club, which is called the Quantum Club, I think. I don't know why I remember that. Oh no, the Quantum Cafe. There you go. And so they're talking, and you think up until this point, well, we don't really know what's going on. Then they switch to some ensign whose face is like morphing in and out. And, you think, well, something's up. Now this is, we know something is not right in this fake Starfleet Academy. And Chakotay is there with, Tuvok. Tuvok shows up and he says, hey, Chakotay, we've got to go. And Chakotay says, okay. Well, he doesn't say Chakotay because Chakotay is using an assumed name. And then they walk like 3 feet away from this mysterious alien, and they're in a room full of people, and they have a discussion about they were supposed to just be observing, and they shouldn't be making contact, and they don't know what's going on, and it seems like a tactical error to have this conversation in front of everybody.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. I mean, nobody hears them, I guess, but it just seems like a bad idea.
So then they return to the ship.
They do, and this is when we find out, aha, they're not actually on Earth. They're on a big floating station of some sort, and Tom Paris and Ensign Kim are waiting in the Delta Flyer. You don't have to go back to Voyager to report back.
But they bring someone with them.
Oh, that's right. I forget why they bring. Oh, because they were, some ensign was like, hey, you were in a place that only captains should be going to, so I have to take you to Starfleet Intelligence to debrief. And they say no. And this is a problem, another problem I had. So we know at this point that they're not humans. We don't know what they are, although they are species 8472. Tuvok does the Vulcan neck pinch and it works. And I feel like it probably wouldn't work. But I guess they are actually, I guess they are humans.
Yeah, they have had to morph into human physiology. So
I guess it will work. I retract my problem with it. And so it works and they go back up and they beam him up and they try and interrogate him a little bit and he refuses, the ensign refuses and he kills himself basically by releasing some kind of cellular toxin, I believe is what they say. But you know, the doctor is not going to waste this opportunity and keeps his corpse just in case. And they scan it to see what's what. And Captain Janeway wants Chakotay to tell him what's going on. And, she tells her what they have found. And there's a lot of setup, right? And that's the whole setup. And then they decide, well, we've got to, once they figure out that this ensign is, species 8472, which is like, there's a bunch of technobabble and the doctor injects it, the corpse with something. And then it kind of probably in the best special effects scene of the episode, his body morphs into, so he's a human size, but then he gets much bigger because species 8472 is much larger.
Yeah. I think that I enjoyed that moment in that scene when the captain and the doctor have to kind of duck to the side yes. to avoid his growing form.
Mm-hmm. And then that's the question of where, if humans are so much smaller than species 8472, where does the extra mass go? Marisa, tell me where it goes. Doesn't make any sense. Maybe they're very gassy. They're just filled with gas. So the mass is the same, but they just take up more volume. And they are from fluidic space, so who knows? Who knows, really, what's going on? And so Captain Janeway's like, oh, no. So this is the point at which, did you recognize species 8472?
No, I don't think I've seen the previous episode in which they appeared.
And they very briefly kind of explain what it is.
But yeah.
So this is, for people who are familiar with Voyager more deeply than Marisa, apparently, you will instantly recognize species 8472 as the species that basically killed a bunch of Borg and blew up multiple Borg cubes. Because they are resistant to Borg technology and the Borg wanted to. The only species the Borg failed to assimilate was species 8472. Species 8472 hates them, and the Borg are afraid of species 8472 because I believe there was a two-parter episode where species 8472, which I don't know why they never just gave them a name, but whatever, is from another dimension called fluidic space, and the Borg wanted to assimilate all of fluidic space, and they were fighting them off, and Voyager thought that the species 8472 was trying to evade our space, and so they helped the Borg, and that is what basically leads to this. Species 8472 has taken that aggressive stance that the humans have displayed and has decided that they need to wipe out all humanity because you can't trust humans, and they are very violent.
And so as a result, they have managed to get hold of all of this information about Starfleet somehow.
Yes.
That's not explained.
That is not explained. And that is my main quibble with this episode, because they have a very deep knowledge of Starfleet Academy. And so deep, in fact, that Captain Janeway has an offhand comment of seeing Boothby. She's like, oh, Boothby. He was the groundskeeper while I was at Starfleet Academy, and he would give me a rose every day when I went to class. And at the end of the episode, the Boothby, who isn't really Boothby, gives Captain Janeway a rose. And I thought to myself, what? There's no Starfleet database that has the information that Captain Janeway got a rose from Boothby every day.
Maybe it was the social media files.
Oh, that's right. She tweeted about it.
Yep.
Or posted it on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the version of it is in the 24th century. Are they in the 24th century? 26? It doesn't matter. But anyway, so this is there's a lot of stuff not a lot happens in this episode, frankly.
This episode almost feels like they needed a really inexpensive episode.
Yes, because they could film it outside. I guess they had some build. I guess the building probably was a matte painting, I assume, or maybe they had some building that they randomly had. So they rented that, and then everything else, they were just using sets they already had and a couple of special effects, and they were done.
But yep.
Not much happens. So we'll skip over. So now we have the whole setup. Species A472 is training very extensively to infiltrate Starfleet or perhaps attack it. We don't really know what their plan is yet. And now Captain Janeway sends Chakotay back and says, go meet and have the date with the lady who you met previously and said you would go back and perhaps meet her at 7 o'clock at the bar. And so he does. And this is their brilliant idea that they will have Chakotay try to, I guess, seduce this woman. I don't know. I guess it wasn't really clear that he should seduce her, but just kind of pump her for information.
Yeah.
Which he does. And so this is my other problem with this episode. So they're doing all that. They spend all this time kind of talking about literature. And this woman is clearly, her time spent as a human has kind of changed her perspective on humanity. But she still thinks that we're violent. But she sees some better points with literature and music and all that good stuff. And then they go, they have a kiss. And she becomes clear as Chakotay leaves that the only reason she kissed him was this, so she could get some of his DNA, so she could scan it to make sure that he is a human. Cause Boothby at that point thinks that he is a human.
Are you going to comment on what she scans? So she kisses him,
yep.
But she scans her hand. And I feel like her mouth would have been a better representation of his DNA. Like, it's like she could have casually touched him at any point in the evening.
Well, I don't even understand why they had to have, they could have just scanned him at any point, one imagines.
Probably.
Because they had tricorders that were Starfleet tricorders, even if they didn't have the technology, although they have more advanced technology. It doesn't make any sense. Also, I would think, if you have a super secret base, and apparently they have 12 more of them, and everybody on it is an alien, you should probably know everybody who's on it. Like you have a list of people, your aliens that are going to be on here. And when someone else shows up and they're not on that list and you're all pretending to be Starfleet officers, that one assumes you have, extensive notes on everybody's story. And then somebody comes up and is just spouting off nonsense that isn't on your list. That might be a red flag. But nobody seems to. Chakotay is a master of subterfuge.
Well, and also, if it's this kind of controlled little pod floating in space, wouldn't they be monitoring transporter?
You would think so. Or maybe one could say that they think that they are so well hidden that they don't even bother.
I don't know. It was a little weird. But so they scan him, then they have this very strange scene in which he leaves and she says, yes, he's a human, mm-hmm. And to Boothby, who is apparently in charge.
Yes.
And so then they turn on the daylight.
Oh, yes, they do.
And then there's this very strange,
Well, we should talk about the daylight scene, too, because obviously, so this is something that I was not aware of until a few years ago, where it is, if you have a night scene in a movie, and you can't really afford to shoot it at night because that requires a lot more effort, you can just put a little filter on your lens.
Yep.
And it turns daylight into vaguely convincing night time. And that is clearly what they did with this, because they had the, and then they just kind of took it off.
Yeah, there was the filter, the nighttime filter on there, mm-hmm. and then they went, whoop.
And it was daytime. So it was kind of a cool effect, but it was clearly clear what they were doing. and so then Chakotay is... the jig is up, and it is very strange because Chakotay is walking down this kind of very typical, like, TNG future house walkway thing, and he's just walking a little quicker than one would normally do because he wants to get back to the transporter rendezvous spot, and he looks behind him, and there are, like, 10 people just slowly following him, and then he runs into the garden, and then there are, like, 25 people slowly following him. It's like the worst, least exciting chase scene ever.
It was strange. And they were moving it in sort of a zombie-like way. Like, they're all just kind of, you know, deadpan, slowly crowding him. And then two people grab him.
That's right. If he had jogged, he would have gotten away. But he did not. He wanted to saunter, I suppose. He does shoot one person. One assumes he stunned them. But
yes.
Yeah, he is captured. And you think, oh no, they're going to torture Chakotay. But they don't really torture Chakotay. Booth B and the lady have this big discussion about what they should do with him. And they decide that they're going to extract his DNA so they can fix better, do their disguises, I guess. And then it doesn't really feel like Chakotay is ever really in peril, which undercuts everything. But now they know
everything.
Now they know that this is species A472, and so 7 of 9, of course, is a Borg, and she or formerly Borg, she is she wants to eradicate species 8479 because they are 8472, because they are a danger to humans. And Captain Janeway says, well, you know, cook up some of them nanobots that we used to beat them earlier. And so she goes off and does that. And she says, oh, look, we have like 10 photon torpedoes that are equipped with them. And Captain Janeway says, well, go get some more because we need more ammunition. And 7 of 9 is resistant to this for some reason. And then this is a weird scene in which Captain Janeway basically says, 7 of 9, we need more weapons. And 7 of 9 says, well, we can't really do that. And then Captain Janeway says, well, I just keep thinking about Directive 0101, which says that before you engage any species in hostile acts, you should first attempt first contact and be diplomatic and all that good stuff. So it was very strange because she was looking for all this weaponry. And then I guess in the back of her mind, it was nagging her that she should.
Well, but she said that, I think, referencing that they'd already made first contact and it had been a disaster. And now she figured they were out for blood. So you better be ready.
But then that sets up the whole thing about Captain Janeway not necessarily just wanting to kill them on sight, but kind of talking to them first. And then, but to having the weapons to kill them on sight, if need be, which I guess is prudent.
Yeah.
That's why she's the captain and nobody else's. And so Captain Chakotay is captured. And Captain Janeway is, this is when we find out that they lost contact with Chakotay. Captain Janeway says, red alert, take me. Oh, and I guess I should have mentioned this before, that Voyager up until this point is hiding behind a moon so that no one will find them. But now that Chakotay has been captured, they leave the moon and they go and attack. No, they don't attack it. They approach the secret base. And they are hailed by Boothby, and Captain Janeway and Boothby talk about stuff. And she says, I want Chakotay back. And he says, that's too bad. And she says, you know, we can blow up your base. And he says, there are 12 more of them just like this. You'll never find them all. And we can blow up your ship. And they go back and forth for a little bit about that. And then Captain Janeway basically says, well, why don't you come over? And we'll talk about it in person. And everybody, for some reason, agrees to this. It doesn't really make any sense. Because clearly, species A472 has a much better position than Voyager. But whatever. And so they do. They come over. They bring Chakotay as well. There was never any real talk of bringing Chakotay, but they bring him. And I assume they just give him back, which is weird. But they do.
Well, I think what you're supposed to believe is that he has made such an impression on this female officer to the point where she started to doubt what she knows and assumes about humans.
That's true. There's that scene where after the interrogation, they talk about what they should do. And she says, no, humans aren't all that. Maybe they're not all that bad.
Yeah.
And the Admiral character is having none of it. Also, Memory Alpha tells me that actor who played the Admiral, had a lot of people saying to him, you came across as so stern and you did not move your face much and you were so angry in this episode. What happened? Turns out he was suffering from Bell's palsy and he could not move his face. So it was good that he was playing a certain character because he could only do one expression, and that was the one that they got. So, not that we're laughing at it, but it's just
it's amazing and ridiculous.
Yes, and explained a little bit about how he holds himself in that episode. But he's basically the character. So the rest of this episode basically happens around Captain Janeway's conference room table, and it is as exciting as one might imagine. It is with Seven. The Voyager folks are on one side, and Species 8472 are on the other side. And Boothby is there, this admiral, and the lady that Chakotay was having a relationship with. And on the other side is Chakotay, who is never explained how he was released, but one assumes it was just an act of goodwill. Seven of Nine, who wants to kill them all, and Captain Janeway. And I think, Tuvok is also there because he's security, I guess. I don't know. And so they talk and talk and talk about how Boothby's like, you want to kill us all. And Captain Janeway says, no, we don't. And he says, well, how many ships do you have in the Delta Quadrant? And she says, only one. It's us. And she says, I'll even tell you something else, that we are stranded here. We can't even contact the Earth. And we're not here as like the spear of an invasion force. So you don't need to kill us. And that's when the lady says, well, that was not our mission anyway. We're supposed to infiltrate Starfleet and basically watch and make sure you guys are being cool. This makes the admiral very upset. He yells at everybody and he's like, we need to wipe out the humans because they're a big threat. And Boothby is like, no, it seems like they're super chill. Captain Janeway says, to prove our good intentions, we will disarm all of our weaponry. And she does, which I guess is a good kind of faith, act of faith or something, but the main problem I have with this is that Voyager is in such a weak position that it seems like any gesture they do is just that, a gesture. But I suppose that's what diplomacy is all about, and negotiation, because sometimes you negotiate from a very weak position and you want to avoid a very large thing. And so Captain Janeway is just being practical and saying, well, she doesn't come out and say it in this episode, but it's clear that no matter what they do, Species 8472 is going to win anyway. So you might as well try to avert a war if you can. And so that Boothby, I guess, is very impressed by this, and he agrees to, if Captain Janeway gives him the information about the nanobots that were basically the thing that they're very worried about, they will attempt to tell his superiors not to destroy humanity and also give them some like DNA technology or something. It was unclear what Voyager got.
I think they got the technology to figure out how to morph into different forms.
Oh.
That was my impression.
Well, maybe that's true.
So as I've been listening to you do this description,
just plattle on and on and on.
I do have this thought of, I wonder if part of her, like, gamble, mm-hmm. this bet that she's making that they will go along, has something to do with her sort of inherent trust in humanity. That if they've been spending all this time as humans, mm-hmm. that perhaps part of, there's this unique. I'm just kind of. It's a theory. I don't know.
They've had the human experience.
They're having a human experience. They're seeing the humans as more like them because they're spending all this time mm-hmm. in the human form, that maybe she's making this gamble that is somehow going to impact their thinking. I don't know. Because if you're, if you're compressed into a human body and you're suddenly forced to work with a human brain, maybe it'll change the equation for them. I don't know.
Maybe. And I mean, I think she's also working. She has some knowledge that they don't, in that they are assuming, which it doesn't, this, the more you think about the premise of this episode, which is an interesting premise, it makes not a lot of sense because they have so much knowledge about Starfleet Academy and so many details about Starfleet, but they don't have the knowledge that Starfleet has no idea who they are, which seems strange. And Captain Janeway says, you clearly have Starfleet database. Search it for references to yourself. You'll find out that we are the only Starfleet ship that knows of you because no one else has ever heard of you. And so clearly we're not planning to wipe your species out because nobody even knows that you are a species. They don't take that as a sign that an impending force isn't coming. which seems strange. But anyway, I think you're right that she, so she knows that, well, A, she knows that humanity has evolved, and while humanity may be violent, and they misunderstood what was happening with between the Borg and species A472, generally, they try to avoid fighting, and that they aren't hell-bent on universal domination, but they are explorers, and they're just trying to get home, man. And then species 8472 is operating on a false premise based on their one encounter with humanity, in which they probably, for the first time in many years, have suffered large amounts of casualties because they were immune to most weaponry, except for when, you know, the doctor came up with these nanobots. So they are terrified of the humans. Humanity in Starfleet, in Star Trek, I think that the most terrifying villain is the Borg, because the Borg show up. You immediately, you can't negotiate with them. They don't care. They just want to absorb you. And for species 8472, the Borg pose no threat. But the humanity suddenly is their Borg because they just showed up and they killed a bunch of them for no reason, seemingly.
Yeah.
They didn't understand it. So I think that's what they were. This whole episode is based on that premise. And Captain Janeway has to, in like 5 minutes, explain to them that that is not true. And they believe her. So, because she's very good at her job, I guess.
Because she's an excellent diplomat.
She's an excellent diplomat. It's true. And then the episode ends with, they're like, well, hey, since it's Earth down there, we might as well go down there and have some shore leave for a little bit, hammer out the details, and, you know, maybe Seven of Nine, you can come down and see Earth. And Seven of Nine says, no, I'll stay here just in case they kill you all. I can blow them up from here. So, yeah, they go down. Neelix gets his only scene in this episode where the Admiral mispronounces his name. And then off he goes to look at some power generator with Tuvok. And probably the best part of this episode is when Captain Janeway and Boothby are walking through the garden, and she says, hey, you didn't happen to include this coffee shop that I really liked in San Francisco in the simulation, did you? And he says, no. And you could see all of the sadness when she hears that there is no coffee shop for her to go to.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
Yes, she really likes coffee. If you don't know anything about Captain Janeway, you have to know that she likes coffee. And she's always looking for it. And then, you know, the end of the episode is really, it feels like maybe they wrote it to be a little open-ended, because Boothby says, you know, I'll try my best. I have to go. I'm not the boss of the species. So I have to give my officers a report, and I'll see what they decide. And she says, Janeway says, okay. And the episode ends. And
doesn't Chakotay and his...
Oh, yes. They make out, don't they, or something?
Yeah, there's a kiss. They wrap it up. Because she says, I might never get to do this again. That's returning right. To fluid space. And what is fluid space?
It's fluidic space.
Fluidic space, sorry.
And I bet Memory Alpha will tell me exactly what fluidic space is. It is... oh, no. Is my iPad playing sound? No. I'm a professional podcaster, people. what is fluidic space? It's just it's another dimension.
Okay.
Kind of like an alternate reality. Not an alternate reality, but like a adjacent universe to our own that they live in. And they do not interact with us, but there was like the Borg figured out a way to get in there.
Got
and
it.
They wanted to take it over and let them in. So so they are coming into our galaxy to make sure that nobody messes up their galaxy, basically.
You know what's interesting about this episode is that when you started playing it, I was like, oh, this one, I like this one. As we talk about it,
oh no,
it doesn't like hold it. Up. It's not that I don't like it. It's like I find that this episode is a pleasant viewing experience, but there's not a lot of there.
No, not a lot happens. And I think this is true of many middling Star Trek episodes, which I think this is a middling Star Trek episode. The more you think about it, the less the premise holds up. And I feel like that they had to do a lot of things to get to the point where these people could create this whole simulation of Earth, which is, you know, kind of looks cool and it's a cool, gives you a lot of cool set pieces. But when you start thinking about the depth of knowledge they would need, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then the it just kind of peters out. I mean, I understand the whole point about diplomacy is better than war and all that stuff, but there wasn't enough. And I think that that can be a satisfying resolution to many stories, but there were the threats in the story did not seem very threatening, and they were kind of almost immediately diffused. Like yeah. Chakotay, I never really felt like Chakotay was in any danger. And of course, I know Chakotay's a main character, so he's not going to die. But there are episodes of Voyager where you feel
that
the characters are actually in peril. And Chakotay never really seemed like he was in any peril, especially since we know species A472 is this big, bad species. So that's even... And they look menacing and alien in their natural form, which we see only once fleetingly in this episode for budgetary reasons, one assumes. Because they may have been like the first all CGI alien on Star Trek as well. Mm. So, but yeah, I mean, it was fine. It's a fine episode. as I was recapping it, I was kind of boring myself. But as you watch it, it's much more exciting to watch it than to listen to me recap.
It's a perfectly entertaining episode.
Yes, and it's a good Janeway. I mean, Janeway has good scenes. 709. I feel like they could have done a little more with 709, not trusting species A472, but what are you going to do? The Doctor doesn't do much. Chakotay gets to kiss an alien a couple times.
Yeah.
Good for him.
It's like he's doing his best Captain Kirk.
That's right. Yeah. And he slowly walks around a bit. One thing I did want to say, he takes a bunch of holo pictures and then they go back to Voyager and they view them. And this is when we find out that Chakotay is one of those people who doesn't turn off the little date stamps on his pictures. So if you're listening to this and you have a digital camera, just turn that off. Nobody wants to see that on your digital pictures. Just turn it off. You don't need to see your date stamps on them. You can always just get info window on your computer if you need to see that. But you don't need it printed on every picture. That's a tip from me to you. And Chakotay, if you're listening. I'm sure there's a menu option in your holo camera that you borrowed from the Doctor to turn those timestamps off.
Oh, Scott.
it just distracted me when I was watching it. And I know why they had it, because there was a picture and then they moved on to the next picture and Captain Janeway said, go back to timestamp 84227 or something like that. And so they did, but it was just annoying.
Anyway,
that is neither here nor there. Marisa, thank you so much for watching this episode of Star Trek with me and then discussing it at our dining room table.
It was my pleasure.
Well, perhaps, who knows, you will be on again in the not too distant future.
I am sure you will need me to fill in for something probably at some point.
And I will turn to you and say, we are going to watch an original series episode.
Okay.